Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2. And this is the good news about Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village in Judea, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn King of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth, and we're on a pilgrimage to worship him." When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified. And not Herod alone, but all of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and the religion scholars in the city together and asked, "Where's that Messiah to be born?" And they told him, "In Bethlehem, in Judea." The prophet Micah wrote about it plainly. "It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come a leader who will be a shepherd over my people Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east, pretending to be as devout as they were. He got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement of the star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child. Leave no stone unturned. And as soon as you find him, bring word to me, and I'll join you in worship of the new king." Instructed by the king, they set off on their journey. And then the star appeared again, that same star that they had seen in the eastern skies. And it led them until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were finally in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. Well, they entered the house, saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother, and overcome, they kneeled and worshiped him. And then they opened up their luggage and presented their gifts of gold, of frankincense, and myrrh. And in a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod. So they worked out another route, finding another way, and left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country. Let us pray. Let's just pause for a moment. Remember this story from the scriptures that tell us of the Magi. Where do you see yourself in this story? What do you connect with? What means the most to you? Lord, our questions as well as our answers are gifts, and we give thanks for your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. This time of year in England, anybody know? It's called a certain kind of Sunday. It's called Plow Sunday. Plow Sunday. Because at this time of year is when everybody has put all the presents away. They've put all the Christmas decorations away. And they've decided to now return to get ready for spring. They start getting the old plows out, and they start cleaning them up, sharpening them up. They start making sure the horses are in good shape. And everybody begins to think about spring and the planting season to come. Plow Sunday. Are all your Christmas decorations away? There's lots of different traditions. Let's go there first. No judgment here at Cold Spring Church. But anyway, you have some decorations still up, Marge? Yes, great. Anybody else have decorations up? Yeah? Melissa and I actually try to pull them down early. But what?
We still have.
Yes, I was going to. Oh, that's right. Buddy is still here. Do not tell Mariah Buddy is here. because he needs to get back to the North Pole. Thank you for telling us about Jesus this season, but we'll see you next time. But actually, it could be even Easter. Melissa and I, even in the house, we'll just sometimes come across a Christmas ornament. You know, and sometimes we just leave it there, but ordinarily I got to go dig out the box and go find and put it away again. Because, you know, giving gifts, Christmas season, that's a day, right? It's an event. It's a season of time. And especially in the world today, it's a time where everybody can give gifts. Everybody can exchange gifts. It doesn't matter. There is no religious connection always, and certainly not a connection to Jesus always. And it's just a time, though, when people say, you know what? I have, and I would love to give so that you can have. And so we go to a great deal of effort, a great deal of attention is paid so that we can just find the right gift for the right person. But now that season's over. And so giving a gift now for Christmas, it's like, is there a belated Christmas gift card? I don't think I've ever seen them because everybody's on time for Christmas. But you know, the Magi from the East, in the Christmas story, our traditional Christmas story coming out of the Luke and Mark, you know, we just have, the story's done now. Jesus has been born. Let's move on now. Let's move on to the cross. You know, the Christmas narrative is nowhere to be found in Paul's epistles. It just wasn't a concern to the early church. The details about how Jesus was born, where Jesus was born, who his mom and dad were, all of that stuff really was not all that important generally to the Gentile world, the world of non-Jewish world. Now, to the Jewish audience, they did care about lineage and ancestry. So Matthew is the perfect gospel for that. He says that Jesus was born in the town of David. And so the feature of Bethlehem is here, and that focus on the ancestry of Jesus and his lineage is a key feature in Matthew. Matthew the tax collector, Matthew the learned one who wanted to tell people how Jesus was the perfect king of Israel. But the Magi came late. They arrived late to the party. And as I understand the story, the Magi came when Jesus was already, could be a year, could be less, could be a little more. And so they find Jesus in a house, and they come to present gifts. But the story leading up to that, as Matthew starts here, he says that it was at the time of Herod. Now, saying that it's at the time of Herod, to people who knew King Herod, knew of King Herod, it would almost like, maybe for our more modern minds, it was the time of Hitler. When you're in Germany, that might be the equivalent. Because Herod, well, it wasn't Jewish at all, he was appointed to be the administrator of those troublesome Jewish nation. He was in charge of taking care of them, but he had no lineage connection, he had no religious connection, he was simply the appointed king, but he wanted to make sure everybody treated him as king. So the whole city revolved around him. Everything centered on Herod and his temperament. When Herod was happy, Jerusalem was happy. And whenever Herod was having a bad day, the whole town suffered. So you can imagine that when the wise men, the Magi from the East, which is the root word for Magi is just someone who is learned, especially with astronomy, but it's also the same root where we get our word magic. These are people who delved into the deepest realms of knowledge. And they studied things like the stars. And they noticed this most peculiar constellation. We don't have the details. It says the star in the eastern sky just drew their attention. And they began to go where the star seemed to be pointing. And so they had no details, though. The GPS was not working. They didn't know who to call. Hey, I'm looking for Jesus, where he was born. You got any idea? Oh, yeah, you go down the road, you make a left, take a right, take a third tree, make a stop. That there was just no way for them to know exactly where Jesus would be born. And so they knew that it was somewhere near Jerusalem, because where else would a king be born except the kingly city? And so they show up, where would they go? To a gas station? Or would they ask the shepherds? Would they ask just an innkeeper? Who else would they ask? These wise people from the East came and they said, we've got to go straight to the king, because who else would know? It's probably the king's child. How else would you be a king? People are born into royalty. You don't just, it's not a job description you apply for and get elected. It's something far different. And so the wise men naturally went to Herod's palace and asked a simple question. Hey, hope we're not too late, but we're here to worship the new king. And Herod's face, looking at these strange people from Persia, showing up just with the way they were dressed, the way they spoke, the things they had with them, their entourage, just must have overwhelmed him. He says, you're looking for who? We're looking for the new king. Surely you know, King Herod. Yeah, let me get back to you. And so he quickly dismisses the wise men, and he calls together all of his religious leaders. And he calls together those that he is paid to keep him in the know. You know, Herod has family members killed. Herod just protects his throne like none other. And he wasn't going to be living long even after this event because of all the awful things that he did. The people finally got fed up with him and he was finally killed. He finally died. And that was the signal that Jesus, who was taken as an immigrant to Egypt for safety, at Herod's death, they were able to return safely to Jerusalem. And so Herod was upset. He brings his had a secret meeting with his scholars. And it says, they said, well, he would be born in Bethlehem. That's the best we got. And so he says, okay, Bethlehem, got it. And so he brings the scholars back in and says, oh, you're looking for the king. Yeah, I've been looking for the king. I can't wait to see him. And listen, he's in Bethlehem. And as soon as you find him, would you just come on back and tell me so that I can join you in worship? And they said, well, sure. That sounds reasonable. We'll get right back to you. And so they go, they find Jesus, they bring their gifts. Imagine how Mary and Joseph must have felt. Gee, Christmas is over. The shepherds have come and gone. Our amazing life is just unfolding. We have no clue what's about to happen. Jesus has already been presented at the temple. And the priests and the people there just remember, we had Simeon. And we have just that whole notion that Jesus is just going to be the most amazing thing ever. Mary and Joseph are just collecting their thoughts, just getting ready for the most unimaginable journey. And here show up three wise men from Persia. We've come to present gifts to the king. And so they do. And the gifts are left. And the Magi now are supposed to report right back to Herod. Let's go tell King Herod so he can come and worship. But in a dream, they were told, you should not go back to Herod, and you should make your way home by another route. All of Jerusalem was in chaos. Herod was up in arms that there was a threat to his throne looming nearby. He was counting on the Magi to give him a secret clue so that he could, no doubt, kill Jesus. Because the very next verse after our passage today is when he summons the people together and says, oh, those Magi, they never came back. I'm going to have to kill every single baby in this whole area that's 2 years of age or younger because I can't let my throne be threatened. You know, a lot of times in our own experience with God and our own experience with life and as we grow and learn, you know, we want to have open minds. We want to be ready for what God has for us. And you know, one thing about open minds is, you know, if you open your mind too much, you got to be ready because lots of people want to put stuff in it. And so when we have an open mind, we also want to apply good filters that we pay attention to the right information and the best information. And we get help interpreting that information. You know, the wise men got help interpreting the information. They had an open mind, probably more than almost anybody else. They were open to the stars. They were open to influences of history. And they found Jesus through all of that. And yet they remained open to the word of God that came to them and said, don't go back to Herod. I will show you another way. I will show you a way out of this very conflicted and chaotic city of Jerusalem. You will find a safer passage. And so a lot of times in our life, we're open to so many things. But sometimes we want to just kind of remain in charge. And we want to, it's so overwhelming. Sometimes we just want to close it up. I got enough information. I got enough. And sometimes we have enough information, but we don't have the right information. So, for example, here in our church, our mission study team is starting in 2 weeks on Wednesday, and we're going to bring some resources in. We've been waiting for the presbytery to provide some demographic resources, and I bet all of you know more about Cape May area than I do. I know for sure. And you probably know more than most people. But you know, there are pockets of information and data points out here that we are not attuned to. And this mission study team will help all of us get to know our neighbors and who they are more completely. We, our church, wants to be open. And in this phase of our church's life, we want to say to God, God, we love this community. Introduce this community to us in a better way. Help us get to understand this. Another reason why, say on Monday, the 29th of January, we have an opioid prevention training meeting here, just hosting the meeting. The Youth Advocate Program and information from Rutgers University, they're going to come in and do a workshop. You're all invited, and it's all free. Register online or call the office. But the reason that we're hosting and why our leadership team, our session, said this is probably a good thing, let's let them come and do it in this area, is that, you know, I was just, one of you today told me this morning, Rio Grande is the number one town in the nation for opioid overdose. And so opioid overdose in our county and in our area is just overwhelming families. People taking medication for good reasons. But they become addicted to them and sometimes leave medications available for other people to abuse. Sometimes they become addicted. And it's just a cycle that never ends and people just don't manage it well and they're dying. And so, but there are resources and tools for that. You see, when Herod was in charge of Jerusalem, he kept everybody on pins and needles saying, oh, you don't need to know that. You don't need to know that. Oh, I got everything in charge here. I'm the king. What? You think you're a king? Hey, by the way, tomorrow afternoon, kill that person. And so Herod would just protect his throne. You know, we need to have lives that are confident in Christ that say, no, we don't have to protect our throne. Jesus has protected our throne. Jesus is on that throne. And so all we need to do is be open to what God is doing in and through us, like the wise people. They knew, they followed the sign, and when they got messages from God, they modified their path accordingly. They were probably going to get up in the morning after seeing Jesus and head right back to Herod. They knew that route. It was familiar to them. They had just done it maybe a day or two before. But that night, God comes to them and says, you know what, there's some more information I want you to know. Herod's not the good guy. Herod cannot be trusted. I will show you another way into your future. And you will be safe and you will be good. Just follow my direction. And that's where I think our congregation is as this new year starts. That we expect more because God is great and awesome and amazing. But our path together, we need to be open because we want to be in the land of clarity and openness and moving forward. I wonder what Mary and Joseph were thinking when the Magi left their gift. I wonder what they were thinking when they received those gifts and constantly through life saw Jesus grow and learn in favor with God and man and saw Jesus as his life emerged. I wonder what they were thinking about the great gift that Jesus was to so, so many, to us all these years later. We know that God wants to do amazing things in and through us. And so as this new season starts, let's remain open to what God wants us to learn, and to know that whatever your gift, God welcomes it. Your gifts are never too late. And whenever we have something, a gift, a talent, a skill to offer, that God says, thank you so much for that gift. Thank you for that gift. You bring that gift on, that's awesome. And so whatever that is, we know that there's a community out there that needs to see God's grace in action. And filled with gratitude, I know we will continue to do it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you have placed us in this community and for 303 years have made us the center of our experience here in this area. So we pray for our community. We pray for moms and dads who struggle. We pray for families that need hope. We thank you for those that serve our community. We thank you for other congregations of faith for all that they do. We thank you for those that support our community in so many different ways, from school teachers to city officials to those who even keep our streets safe and clean. And Lord, we thank you that you've put us right here to do something special this year. And for all of our gifts, we give thanks. Let's just pause for a moment and consider the gift of the Magi. And knowing that God accepts your gift whenever it's offered and in whatever way it's offered, what is something that you think you have that you can offer him? In Jesus' name, amen.